It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
And floorboards, the shingles. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Give us a call right now with your home improvement project, your do-it-yourself dilemma. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974, because we are here to help you solve all of your DIY dilemmas. So pick up the phone and help yourself first by calling us at 888-MONEYPIT. Hey, coming up this hour, are you cooking for a crowd this holiday season? I know that we are, but the last thing that you need is a jammed garbage disposer. Don't call the repairman just yet. We're going to have step-by-step troubleshooting tips to help get it running again in just a bit.
And also ahead, are you prepared to pay a whopper of an electricity bill next month? Well, you should be if you're using traditional holiday lights. We've got tips on energy-efficient holiday lighting and just how much money you can save on your Christmas lighting bill.
Plus, if you like the look of hardwood floors, but you can't afford the price tag, you really should consider engineered hardwood. It's a less expensive but often more durable surface than hardwood floors themselves. Learn more about what makes engineered hardwood a good choice a little later when we interview Tom Sullivan from Lumber Liquidators.
And this hour, we're giving away a 170-piece mechanics tool set from Stanley. It's worth $100, and it's one of our suggestions in our holiday gift guide. So call us right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
888-666-3974. Let's get right to those phones. Leslie, who's first?
John in Minnesota, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Well, hi, Leslie. Hi, Tom. I have a question about a friend's home that has a wood foundation.
A wood foundation,
A wood foundation.
Wow.
And above grade, you can see a dimpled membrane that was nailed in place. And over a period of time, this membrane has been compromised due to the landscaping that's around the house. I believe it's settled, and it's pulling this membrane downward away from underneath the siding. And in doing so, it's cracked and broken, and it's just not in good condition.
What's the membrane made out of?
It's like a plastic type material.
It's covering the foundation, or it's underneath the siding, or both?
Both. It was installed so that the siding laps over the top of the membrane.
Right.
And it's nailed in place to what looks like just plywood, I believe, is the outer part of the foundation.
Huh. Yeah, that's very interesting, John. I can't for the life of me imagine what this looks like. I'd like to suggest that you go to moneypit.com and go to the community section and then post a photo of it right there. You can actually create a question, attach some photos of it, and let's have a look. And between Leslie, myself, and the rest of the community, we ought to be able to get to the bottom of it, because it sounds like a pretty unique situation and not one that you would see every day.
I agree. It is very unique, and it's got me baffled, and I want to help them out and do the right thing and not just put a Band-Aid on it.
All right, well, let's take a look at it together, and we'll see what we can do.
All right. Well, I've got a few photos. I'll send them off. And
all right, John.
Thanks for your show. I'm a podcast listener and don't have it on the radio, but I catch you all the time, and helped me out of a few jams already. So thanks for the show.
All right. Well, we're happy to hear that, John. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEYPIT. And we'll look forward to taking a look at those images on the community section.
Marion, George is looking for a helping hand with her home renovation. What can we do for you?
Do you have any information on grants or loans for home renovations? As I thought I heard you a few weeks ago mention a 1% loan for home renovations.
I'm not sure what that is. But I will tell you that HUD has a number of programs in the Georgia area four different types of home repair and home renovation loans.
Mm-hmm, or grants even. Yeah, and HUD is the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and they've got a really great website. It's HUD.gov, but if you do a little bit more investigating, once you get onto their site, you'll see that they have a program called the City Development Block Grant, or Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, and there's actually a contact in Atlanta, and they're so kind to give us her name and phone number, and I'd be happy to share that with you, and it could be a start.
All right, good. All right.
Do you have a pen and paper?
Yes, I do.
All right, her name, and she's going to be so happy that we're announcing this.
Oh, good.
Her name is Miss Jocelyn Ross, and she is the director for the Office of Grants Management for Atlanta.
Oh, and good.
You can reach her directly at 404-330-6112.
Oh, wonderful. That's 404-330-6112, Miss Jocelyn Ross.
Mm-hmm. I say give her a buzz on, you know, first thing in the morning and see
and
what
she
says.
And tell her that Tom and Leslie said hello.
Oh, all right. I certainly will. That's wonderful.
All right. Good luck with that project, Mary.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for being there. I love your program.
Thank you, Mary. Have a great day.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at MoneyPit.com. Now, you can call in your repair, your home improvement, your home decor question 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
888-666-3974. Up next, don't let a jammed trash disposer put the brakes on your dinner. We'll walk you through the simple steps it takes to unjam it after this. Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT. If you give us a call right now, you could win a fantastic prize because we are giving away the 170-piece mechanics tool set from Stanley. I actually have the mechanics tool set, Leslie.
But you're not a mechanic.
But I know, it's true. It's true. But this is sort of the go-to kit. Whenever I have to go anywhere outside of my house to do something, you
this
know,
is
go
the
to
one
my
you
mom's
bring.
House... whatever, go do a Boy Scout project, and I don't know what tool I'm going to need, I grab my mechanics tool set because it comes with everything I could possibly need, and it's just really handy to have around. It's got extension bars, spark plug sockets, bits, hex keys, wrenches, mm-hmm. you name it. It's all there. It's in a polished chrome finish to prevent corrosion. It's got a lifetime warranty. All comes in a durable case. Now, it's worth $100, but it's going to go out this hour to one of our callers who reaches us at 1-888-MONEYPIT. And we also should note that this is one of the great gift ideas that we've featured in our online holiday gift guide. So check that out at moneypit.com.
Mm-hmm. And give us a call at 1-888-MONEYPIT for your chance to win this fantastic prize this hour. Well, one of the hardest working appliances at the busiest cooking season of the entire year has got to be your garbage disposer. And let me tell you, nothing puts the brakes on kitchen cleanup like a jam disposer. Now, clearing it out, it's not hard. You have to know what to do, though. So here's what happens. Usually, bits of debris can jam your disposer or even a stray utensil. Listen, sometimes they drop down there. We're not blaming anybody, but it happens. Now, once you've turned it off and fished out the foreign object, if it's there, your disposer might pop back on. Now, if it doesn't, don't pick up the phone just yet because there's a reset button and it's located at the bottom of the unit. And one touch of this reset button could save you a very expensive and unnecessary repair bill.
True. Now, if you've tried that and it still doesn't seem to be working right, there might be something that is stopping the blades from running. And in that case, look for the small hexagon-shaped socket on the bottom of the unit, which is designed for an Allen wrench that usually comes with the disposer. And with the power off, I repeat, with the power off, you can go ahead and wiggle the key back and forth to move the blades manually. And that generally frees up anything that's stuck in there and gets you going pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Now, to prevent any of those unnecessary clogs in the first place, never place stringy or fibrous waste into the garbage disposer, like, you know, poultry skins, celery, pumpkin pulp when you're carving those pumpkins at the Halloween time of year, which I can't believe people would even think about sticking that down there. But if you're making a pumpkin pie, same goes. Don't put it down there. Fruit.
Yeah, you know, the last time a disposer was clogged in my house?
What were you making?
Well, My wife was peeling shrimp.
Oh, I could see
those
how that would jam it up,
those
too.
Those shrimp peels, nah, completely jammed it up.
Mm-hmm. And you know what happens? It's that the disposer, it just can't grind that stuff down, and then it just sort of builds up, and then everything gets bogged down and clogs up.
All right, so do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah, exactly.
888-666-3974. Give us a call right now with your home improvement question, your decorating question. You know, if your living room design includes more than seven colors, it probably needs a makeover. Call us. We'll help you. The number is 888-MONEY-PIT.
All right, Pete from Iowa is on the line about a leak in the basement. Tell us what's going on.
Well, it's actually happened a couple times. We lost carpet once, but we had some heavy rains. And the sump pump works, everything works fine, but between the basement floor and the walls, seems like that's where the water is coming up through. And it's weird because probably the biggest amount of water is coming up right below where the garage floor is.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is an easy problem to solve. We just need to figure out what's wrong with your outside drainage conditions.
And what's suddenly different? You know, do you have gutters on the house and downspouts?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we have downspouts, and they go out about 12 feet all the way around. So
it's possible, since you say that the basement's been dry for 15 years and this is new with rainfall, that maybe one of your downspouts has become either disconnected or is clogged, and it's causing that water to either overflow or gather or not move to the place it's supposed to, because that's exactly what happened at my house. We had a clogged downspout. I didn't realize it, and we ended up with a flooded basement. Once that was solved, everything was dry again.
The second thing to take a look at is the grading on the outside of the house. And I realize that, you know, you say it's coming from where the garage floor is, but just mind the fact that...
It can travel.
It can travel, yes. It can travel quite successfully and mysteriously, too. So it can show up. I've seen problems with drainage result in little geysers in the middle of basement floors. And mm-hmm. once you fix some grading or gutter issue, it totally goes away. So you need to be mindful of the grading of the outside of the foundation perimeter of the house. Soil can settle over the years. Walks can settle. If there's anything that's allowing water or trapping water against the house or not letting it run away, that's going to be a contributing factor. But the good news is that this is happening absolutely consistent with heavy rainfall. So we need to figure out what's wrong with the drainage. If you told me this was happening inconsistently with rainfall or heavy snowmelt, that would be another issue. But because it rains, it leaks, it rains, it leaks. There's something wrong with the exterior drainage, and you just need to get to the bottom of it, and it'll go away.
Okay, great. Well, very good. Thanks for the help.
You're very welcome, Pete. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
And in Missouri has a situation with a crawl space. What's going on?
Oh, well, we built a house, but it didn't get the cover space on before we got deluged with rain, and ended up with about 8 inches of water under there. Had something pumped it out. But there's still some puddles around, and we're going to close it off. And I'm just wondering if there's some ways to dry that out.
Yeah. What you're going to need to do is to get a fan in there. And you're going to want to take the fan and actually have it pull air out of the crawl space, even though that you don't have any other vents, which, by the way, is a mistake. But even though you don't have any other vents, you're going to find that air will pull. If you depressurize that space, air will be replenished through all the nooks and the crannies in the construction. So it'll pull air from upstairs. It'll find a way to pull air from the outside. And that will draw some air across that space and help to vent it. But I would recommend a couple other things. You mentioned you had a sump pump in there. I would also make sure that I look at the grading and the drainage situation of the foundation perimeter. Make sure that your gutters are clean, they're free-flowing, they're extended well away from the foundation, and that the soil slopes away from the foundation, because those two things will help you prevent this from happening again in the future.
Okay. So the fan will clean up the puddles that are kind of remaining around.
Yeah, eventually. Yes, eventually. That will do it. And after it gets dried out, I would also put a vapor barrier down across the crawl space floor. If it's possible to get in there, I'd lay down some large sheets of plastic. Oh, it does.
It has
okay.
plastic and gravel. Yeah, we just didn't. And it actually, this foundation is higher than the ground around it.
Uh-huh.
Just with the 10-12 pitch, the water just came right off the roof and funneled down into the house where we had the crawl space opening.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do a better job at managing that roof water.
Well, yeah, we weren't finished. And
yep.
All right, I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
Dominic in New York has a wallpaper question. What can we do for you today?
Well, I have an older farmhouse, and I'm doing some remodeling, and one of the rooms has, like, a raised texture wallpaper.
Okay.
And I just want to know how is the best way to remove it without, you know, really ripping the walls up.
Now, Dominic, prior to having just done this project, the way that I had always done it is score the paper, use a steamer, and then gradually loosen up the adhesive behind it with the steamer. But I just recently, while filming an episode of my new show for A&E, did wallpaper removal. Same thing, score it lightly with the blade. Don't cut through so you're going all the way to the drywall behind it, but, you know, just score it so that you can get underneath it. Fabric softener and water.
Liquid fabric softener.
Yes, liquid fabric softener and water. Way more fabric softener than water. You're going to kind of want to experiment with the mix here, but slather it on there. Use even a paint roller to get it on there and get it underneath, and you'll see it softens everything. I mean, you're still going to have to sand once everything's dry underneath, like leftover adhesive, and then prime, but it worked. I was shocked.
Plus, when you're done, your walls smell lemony fresh.
Exactly.
Okay.
Neil in California is dealing with a tile floor that's cracking. Tell us about the problem.
Well, I got I've laid my tile floor on top of my foundation is all a cement slab. And here, and you know, within a year of when I did some of the tile, some of it's cracked. And then there's some that I've done, longer than that, probably 8 years ago, and some of that started cracking.
Hmm.
So I presume that the cement slab is settling, and I just want to see what you recommend.
Well, you know, you're probably better off replacing the tiles. It's really not possible to do anything that, in terms of a repair, that's going to look halfway decent. You know, you could always try to silicone over the cracks or something of that nature. Are they separated, or is it just sort of hairline cracks?
They're more or less hairline cracks.
Yeah, and what's going to happen is they're going to catch dirt, and it's just not going to look good. So, I mean, if you got a cracked tile, I would just pop the tile up and replace it. Do you think you can find the original tiles?
I still got some of them.
Oh, well, good.
Well, then that would be the way to do it. That was a wise thing. All those years you've been saving those tiles, Neil, because you knew one of these days you were going to need them, right?
I'm trying to do some remodeling, and I was going to tile another section of my house. I wanted to have a gazebo or whatever in the front of my house. I want all windows, and I was going to tile that section too, but I don't
know. You better save those tiles for the repair of the existing floor and choose something new for the new section.
Yeah, very possible.
All right, okay. Neil, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Sandra in Texas, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Well, I've been having a problem with my sharp knives. Not that I use them on anybody, but my sharp knives and my glasses. When I run them through the dishwasher, I get a white film on the sharp knives and some of the glasses, not all of them. It's selective.
Okay. Are you using a rinsing agent in the dishwasher?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And that's not helping at all?
No.
Okay. And have you changed dishwashing detergent?
Yes, I have. Well, I didn't change it. The formula changed of the Cascade I used.
I see.
I noticed it happened more after they changed their formula.
Yeah. Well, I think you might just want to be, the easiest thing to do is to try to find a different dishwasher detergent that works better for you. I suspect that you may have hard water. And
yes, I do.
Yeah, and that's why you're getting these deposits. Now, there is a system that will soften the water. What's that called, Leslie?
It's Easy Water, I think.
Easy Water, yes. Uh-huh. Easy Water electronically clamps onto the main water pipe and basically makes the hard water, changes the polarity of the mineral deposits inside the water so that they don't stick together anymore, and basically that stops it from sticking to stuff. But, you know, that's an investment to do that. The easiest thing for you to do is to just rotate your dishwasher and detergent until you find one that works better for you. Because, like you said, you know, you had one that worked a little bit better. They changed the formulation, and now it's not so good. Don't you love when they say new and improved?
That was not nice to do that.
When they say new and improved, it never quite is.
You know, man, sometimes it's better to leave well enough alone.
You got it. Sandra, thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEYPIT. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, on air and online at MoneyPit.com. Up next, engineered flooring. What is it? Where can you use it? Well, you might be surprised to find out how flexible a flooring this particular product is. It's great for especially wet places, including bathrooms, kitchens, and even the basement. We'll tell you why after this. 888-MONEY.
The Money Pit is brought to you by SnowblowersDirect.com. Thinking about getting a snowblower? Check out SnowblowersDirect.com's interactive buying guides, recommendations, and customer reviews. Snowblower experts are available to help you pick the perfect snowblower. Visit SnowblowersDirect.com.
Where home solutions live. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, on air and online at MoneyPit.com. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And hardwood floors are not only one of the most popular flooring choices around, they're also a great investment for your home. If you want the durability and look of hardwood, though, without the cost, you ought to consider engineered wood floors.
Mm-hmm. Now, engineered wood flooring looks just like full-thickness hardwood, but it's much easier and less expensive to install. So here to tell us more is Tom Sullivan, the chairman and founder of LumberLiquidators.com. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Leslie. Thank you. Hey, Tom.
Hey, so Tom, what is the difference between hardwood flooring and engineered hardwood flooring? There's a lot of confusion about that, isn't there?
Well, yeah, there's what's traditional hardwood flooring is 3/4 inch thick tongue and groove, and then engineered flooring is it still has real hardwood on the top layer, typically, and then the bottom or the underneath part is made up of like a plywood with multiply layers of wood that make it more stable.
So then that would obviously give you the opportunity to put this in like a kitchen or a bathroom or maybe even below grade.
Correct. Below grade it's definitely recommended to go with the engineered if you want the real hardwood. You can glue it to concrete. Nowadays it can also be clicked together. Instead of a tongue and groove, it's a click system. So you just click it together, and it floats over the floor. Still have to be careful of moisture. If you're gluing it down, you want to put a sealer on the concrete and then use a urethane-based adhesive, not a water-based adhesive. But make sure it is dry and sealed well. And then if you're floating it, you still want to put down some plastic to keep any moisture from the concrete coming up into the floor.
So you have to do a little bit of moisture proofing, but it doesn't mean that you can't use the product there. In fact, it's recommended for those damp areas. Now, what about underlayments on the floating system, Tom? I know that when you do, for example, laminates, you usually have some sort of a very thin, cushiony type of underlayment. Is it the same with hardwood?
Yeah, if you're floating it or even sometimes nailing it, you can put a underlayment underneath it that will be one if you're on a condo on a slab with another condo below you. You could use a soundproofing cork or insulayment sheet that's going to keep it from the noise from going to the condo below you. And even on a single family house, that can help keep the noise down of a floor.
Now, can you put this over radiant heat? I work in a design business, and I'm amazed at how many more homeowners are installing radiant heat sort of as the, you know, primary function of heating in a space. But are there any issues when it comes to engineered flooring?
No, engineered is good for radiant. You can still use solid and radiant. You just have to be more careful on how you put it in and what you put in. But engineered is better. Probably overall for radiant, because with radiant you'll expose the floor to more heat and more changes in heat, and the engineered will be more resistant to that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, if you had it, let me ask you this, because this is something that happens to folks. They've got a beautiful new engineered or even a solid hardwood floor that's pre-finished installed, and they have some incident where a piece of furniture gets dragged across it and, you know, maybe scratches it deeply or something like that. How do you repair that sort of thing on a pre-finished floor?
Well, I mean, that with real hardwood, engineered or solid, if you damage a floor, ruin it, you know, sand over it, whatever, wreck the whole thing, that's the beauty of it is you can sand it and refinish it. It's not like a laminate or some other types of floor where you'd have to just basically throw it away. There's a real there's a wear layer on top of there that can take some abuse, and you can sand it and refinish it. But if you just had one gouge in it, you can, without doing the whole floor, you could buff that out, depending if you have a stain on it, or you touch it up and put the polyurethane back on. Depends how bad it is. And with a floating floor where you're not nailing it or gluing it, you could actually take that floor up, put a new piece in, click it back in, and put the floor back down pretty easily because it's just clicking together.
Now, with engineered flooring, if I wanted something truly exotic or unique, is that something that I have as an option with engineered? I mean, really, it's just a top layer, so are you able to get something so exotic more affordably?
Oh, yeah. It does come in, you know, all kinds of exotics and domestic species, so you can, but where with an engineered, you could get, instead of one floor with a 3/4 inch solid, you could get 5 or 6 pieces of flooring. So you do make better use of the wood, which is, you know, another benefit of the engineered.
We're talking to Tom Sullivan. He is the president of LumberLiquidators.com. Tom, let me ask you a final question about warranties. What are the warranties typically on the engineered flooring products?
They're typically the same as a solid floor, depending on the finish. You know, again, we have the Bellawood engineered, which is the highest warranty from 50, and then we have others.
You say 50 years?
50 years on the Bellawood.
Wow. That's amazing.
And Bellawood engineered, and then down to 10 years on some other brands. And that will depend on, the type of plywood that it's on, and also the thickness of the wear layer. The cheaper engineered, you're going to have a thinner wear layer where you're not going to be able to sand it as much as the thicker ones.
Well, engineered floors certainly deliver lots and lots of options for those like us that love hardwood floors, but perhaps have a space that is more suited to engineers like below grade. This is really a perfect option. Bathrooms, kitchens, you name it. If you've got moisture, engineered is definitely the way to go. Tom Sullivan, President and CEO of LumberLiquidators.com, thanks so much for sharing your knowledge with us and stopping by the Money Pit.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. And if you want more tips, you can go to Lumber Liquidators' website at LumberLiquidators.com or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-HARDWOOD.
All right, coming up, you probably put up all of your Christmas lights without even a second thought about the power that they are going to eat up until you get that electric bill. We're going to tell you how energy-efficient LED lights can help you save quite a bit next.
You live in a money pit.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti. And we'd love for you to be part of the Money Pit. So pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-888-MONEYPIT. Not only are you going to get an answer to your home improvement question, but we've got a great prize that we're giving away to one of our lucky callers this hour. And we've got up for grabs the 170-piece mechanics tool set from Stanley. Now, we know it's Tom's favorite go-to toolbox when he's in a jam. And it comes with everything you need, including extension bars, spark plug sockets, bits, hex keys, wrenches, you name it, it's got it. And it all comes in a polished chrome case that prevents corrosion. It's got a lifetime warranty, and it's got this great durable carry case. The prize is worth $100, and it's one of our great gift ideas that we featured in our online holiday gift guide. So if you don't know what to get the home improver in your life, we've got a ton of ideas right there at moneypit.com, and give us a call at 888-MONEYPIT for your chance to win.
888-666-3974. Well, you probably never think about how much your electricity bill will be when you're stringing up those Christmas lights, but a traditional holiday lighting scheme can cost you a bundle. In fact, according to the Alliance to Save Energy, a household burning 10 strands of holiday lights with 100 lights per strand, 8 hours a day for a month, would spend around $175 for large incandescent bulbs, or $11 for the mini lights. Now, if you use LEDs or light-emitting diodes, that drops down to a single dollar bill. based on an average energy cost of about 10 cents per kilowatt hour. That is a huge savings.
That's ginormous. And you know what? There are other benefits as well to the LEDs. They don't contain any mercury or any other toxins. And the sturdy epoxy bulbs, they can last more than 50,000 hours. So you're not going to replace these guys every season. And they don't get hot, so you can cut down on your fire concerns. And the best part, if one light in an LED string goes out, it's not going to dim the rest of your holiday lighting display. They do cost a bit more up front, but they really pay off in the long run. And they're becoming so popular that you can find them just about anywhere, and they're right next to their incandescent and more expensive counterparts.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, on air and online at moneypit.com. Let's get back to those phones. Leslie, who's next?
Mary in New Hampshire is dealing with an icy porch in the winter. Let's see if we can fix this.
I have a fairly new home. Where the roof of the house and the roof of the garage come, it was gushing down water on my stairs. So I had gutters put on. But the gutters come at a right angle right over the porch, and it's still dripping, causing ice to form on the stairs.
Okay.
And I want to know, do you have any ideas?
Well, so the gutters intersect right over the porch, and the problem is that you have two roofs that kind of come together, and the water overflows the gutter. Is that what's going on?
Right.
If the gutter's leaking in an intersection, that's not unusual. You may need to seal that gutter with it where it comes together. You can use some roofing cement on the inside of that gutter to seal it, because it should be a watertight seal. Roofing cement, right, inside the gutter where the seam is. If that's what's leaking, then that's how you fix it. Now, if because you have two roofs that are intersecting, that's it's so much water coming down there and it's overflowing or it's splashing, then that's another problem. And in that case, what you would want to do is go up higher on the roof and put in something called a diverter, which basically is sort of a piece of metal that is attached to the roof that catches some of the water and runs it away from that porch area, so you divert some of the water off of that intersection that's overflowing and splashing. You follow me?
Oh, I get you.
So two things. Repair the leaky gutter and install the diverter. You'll be good to go.
Michael in Arkansas, you've got the Money Pit. What can we help you with today?
Hi. I'm building an addition on my house, and I was wondering about a vapor barrier between the sheetrock and the walls and the sheetrock and the ceiling.
Okay.
And I've had other people tell me, you know, well, on the ceiling it draws moisture and it ruins your rock, and other people tell me not, and so I thought I'd just ask the experts.
Okay, well, the vapor barrier goes between the heated and the unheated space. So in the case of the ceiling, it basically would go up against the rafters before the drywall. And that's why insulation, bad insulation, has a vapor barrier face to it. And it has those nailing flanges so that basically it attaches to the ceiling joists, and that, in fact, becomes the vapor barrier.
Now, so I wouldn't need one.
Need to use plastic, no.
You wouldn't need plastic.
The vapor barrier is essentially attached to the insulation already.
Okay. So if I'm using blown insulation?
Well, if you're using blown insulation, then you could use a vapor barrier.
Okay.
I don't see any reason not to.
So then...
But again, it goes between heated and unheated. So it would basically go right under the drywall.
Okay. So if I'm just using bats, so I don't really need...
Correct.
It wouldn't do any good.
No, and listen, it's going to help a little bit, but the key to keeping your insulation dry is to make sure you have the right amount of ventilation. So you need to have plenty of ventilation in the attic space. I personally like ridge vents and soffit vents because they work together to flush air out of the attic 24/7. They're even more effective than attic fans.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT. Well, I'm sure you've heard the saying, measure twice and cut once. It also applies when you're shopping for building materials like carpet or paint. We'll have tips to help you measure for that after this.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home by calling 888-MONEY-PIT.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Give us a call right now with your home improvement project, your do-it-yourself dilemma. The number is 1-888 Money Pit. Also, head on over to MoneyPit.com and post your question in our community section where we will answer it as well as others in the home improvement community, just like Patricia did. She's got a question about carpet.
Mm-hmm. Patricia from New Jersey wrote, what's the best way to measure carpet, especially when there are stairs concerned? I need to order carpet for my double set of stairs with a landing in between and hallway upstairs with odd-shaped nooks and corners. I don't want to be short or pay extra that I don't need, which I'm afraid will happen if the carpet place comes in to measure.
Well, I'll tell you a way to estimate it, Patricia, and that is, first of all, when it comes to the stairs, usually estimate 1 yard for each step, because that gives you enough to wrap on the riser below. There is a fair amount of waste when you do stairs, there's no doubt about it. But for the rest of it, measure the square footage of the room, and think about it. If you divided that by 9, since there's 9 square feet per yard, you'd have a number that represents exactly what you need. But if you divide it just by 8, you'll have a little bit extra, and that's generally what we recommend. So if you're figuring out how many yards you need to buy, divide it by 8, not by 9, but by 8, mm-hmm. and that will give you just enough waste to get the job done without
and
buying
you know
too much.
And you know what, Patricia, when it comes to those weird nooks and corners that you've got in those hallways, just sort of attack each area as their own rectangular space and sort of keep track of all of those square footage as you go through, because that'll sort of help from you trying to figure out all those nooks and crannies. All right, Bill in Columbus, Ohio wrote, I have a pink substance on the floor of my shower that won't go away. I think it's from the water, but it only appears in the shower. That sounds like a mineral deposit, right?
Oh, definitely. He probably has hard water, and that combined with the soap scum and everything else is creating this lovely color of pink. The thing to do there might be to use CLR, calcium lime rust remover. It's a real good chemical, a real good cleaner, and it'll do a good job at bringing that tile back into shape.
All right, Bill, good luck with your cleaning project.
Well, all that hard work you went through getting rid of the snow is one thing, but then you have to put down something to keep those driveways and sidewalks safe, like a de-icing product. But which one do you choose? Leslie's got that advice on today's edition of Leslie's Last Word.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people forget when they're buying their de-icing products, they forget to stop and think about the pets in their house. Because if you have pets, harsh chemical de-icers, they can quite frankly be hazardous because your puppies and kittens, they've got delicate paws, which could actually get a chemical burn, and they could even be poisoned if they happen to lick their paws, which if you've got a pet, you know they do. So you want to make sure that you choose a pet-safe product, and a lot of them are carried by many of the large pet store chains in your neighborhood. Now, another option is to use sand or even gravel, which will just give you some traction. It's not going to melt things away, but it'll help you from slipping. And then you want to make sure that you sweep up between the storms, because both of these products, whether it's gravel, sand, de-icer, they can get pretty messy, and then you could track them into the house anyway. Also, those chemical de-icers out there, they're really not great for your carpets or your wood floors. When you do bring them inside, it could cause your carpet to be discolored. It could actually eat away at the finish on your flooring. So stomp your feet off very well outside. If you do get it in the house, sweep it up, get it out of there. Just make sure that you choose a de-icing product carefully, and you'll keep your pets and your home in good shape.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Coming up next week on the program, we're going to talk about hydronic heat. Now, I don't know if you know this, Leslie, but it's actually a heating system that dates back to the Roman Empire.
Wow.
It's been around for a long time, and it's making a big comeback.
Guess it works.
All over again for very good reason. It's just a lot more comfortable than forced hot air. We're going to tell you more about the benefits and how you can get it installed in your house on the next edition of The Money Pit. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself.
But you don't have to do it alone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.